And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. On this Friday, Norma Para, my good friend for all this time, joins me now in Studio A. She's a dancer and a dance teacher, and she has trained generations of young dancers in Baltimore at the Baltimore School for the Arts, where she has led the dance department since 1992. She joined the BSA faculty in 1979. That's 39 years ago when the innovative pre-professional public school for the arts first opened. Many of her students have gone on to illustrious careers in dance or the arts and many other fields. Norma Para is retiring next week from the School for the Arts. It's good to see you.
Nice to see you too, Tom.
So you have taught upwards, by some estimates, of about 2,000 kids.
Oh, my.
To dance. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, it is a lot of kids.
What do people learn when they learn to dance?
Well, I think as in any other art form, what they learn is self-discipline, responsibility, self-expression, obviously, in any art form. But the basics that they learn are the basics you need to get through life. You show up on time. You do what you're supposed to do. You work at what it is that isn't working for you. You don't be afraid to fail. The more you fall down, the more you can get up. And then they go home and do their homework and come back the next day and start all over again.
Yeah, yeah. Rinse and repeat.
Yeah. Right.
And is what in your estimation is the thing, the unique, distinctive dimension of dance as opposed to playing an instrument, writing a book, making a sculpture?
Sure. The dance art form is the only art form that is the body is the instrument. There's no vocal. We can dance with sound or without sound. So you have to get this visceral feeling of how your body moves through space. And it takes years of training. Everyone can dance. Everyone can dance. But to be a professional dancer of any kind, tap, jazz, Broadway, you have to be able to control the body in a way that the choreographer wants you to do that. And you don't bring your body in to the shop and get it tuned up. You have to tune it up yourself. I mean, yeah, you can go to a PT when things are going wrong, but you don't get to sit with your instrument and just fiddle with the string a little bit to get a better tone. You have to work at it for years.
You came to School for the Arts at the behest of Sylvester Campbell,
yes,
who was a
that
wonderful, wonderful guy. So you taught there for many years. Then you took over the department in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
There is a tension for a lot of artists between their aspiration to perform and their aspiration to teach, particularly when we were all younger. You know, mm-hmm. Are we going to end up being a teacher? Are we going to end up being a performer? Is it either or? Did you have that tension early in your career? You know, when you're in your 20s, did you see yourself as an educator, as a performer, as a mix of both?
I didn't, but I think my teachers may have. I've been blessed all my life with the most incredible academic and arts teachers. And when I was asked to write an essay as to why I wanted to join the faculty at the School for the Arts, I'm like, I don't know. Why do I want to do this? And the first thing that came to my mind was that I have been given from my teachers, my dance teachers, my academic teachers, a lot of knowledge that needs to be passed on. So I had that in the back of my head, but I'm a wake up every day, go to work kind of person. So I didn't really think far into the future, but I can remember, especially Elena Chernochova, who was my last teacher mentor, she would ask me in the middle of class, Normshka, how is this done? And these were dancers from ballet theater, city ballet, just, and I'm like, oh, Elena, like this and like this. And she would coach me into this. I never thought anything about it. But I took copious notes from all of my teachers. And I used that as the stepping stone to try to create the kind of class that students who had never had any training at all, so little training that when I said Sutenu, they thought I said Subaru. No, seriously, true story. And I loved her for it. And I created, or I hope I created, the kind of floor that they can stand on and step up.
Just have a minute left. Okay. People are going to point to the students you've had who are dancing with Alvin Ailey, and they're dancing they're with the Georges Balanchine Trust, and they have these big things in the dance department or in the dance world.
Right.
But when you think back on this incredible career of yours, what are the things that are the metrics you think are important for gauging your effectiveness in the job?
That the students who graduate from the dance department are able to go into any field at all, any field, and be successful and productive because they have the basic elements they need to succeed, not the least of which is don't be afraid to fail. Just push yourself through. If you want to do this, you'll find a way.
Well, you have been pushing them through for coming on 40 years.
Oh, it's only 39.
Only
I intend
39.
To be 39 forever, just
there
like Jack
go.
Benny.
And you're going to be even teaching summer school this summer.
Yes, I will. I'm kind of excited about that.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you,
and
Tom.
Thank you on behalf of everybody that thinks dance is an important part of the arts culture here in town. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Norma Parrish. She has led the Baltimore School for the Arts Dance Department since 1992. She was part of the original group of gifted teachers who opened the doors of the School for the Arts back in 1979. She is retiring next week. The school will celebrate her career tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. You can come to our website, wipr.org/midday, for a link to more information and to reserve tickets for that event. That's it for us today. Coming up Monday, our series of conversations with the candidates continues. Baltimore City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby joins me. She's facing two Democratic challengers in this month's primary election. She'll have her chance to explain why she should remain Baltimore's top prosecutor. That's coming up Monday on Midday. We want to thank Patango Bakery and Cafe. They're on South Ann Street in historic Bell's Point. They specialize in imported Italian charcuterie and house-made breads and pastries. They're open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. They've got menus and hours on their website, patangogelato.com/bakery. We're grateful to Bottoms Up Bagels. They're a small-batch pop-up bagel shop preparing hand-rolled New Jersey-style bagels, house-cured lox, and specialty cream cheeses. They're inspired by traditions of bagel making dating back to the 1940s. Available at the Waverly and the JFX Farmers Markets. You can order online at bottomsupbagels.com. Our director and engineer is Luke Spicknall. Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, Kathleen Cahill produced the program. Jamila Kremples, our digital producer. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the midday theme music. Reveal is up after a break. For the news at the top of the hour, today Reveal features a report from WIPR's own Mary Rose Madden. It's about the Baltimore City Gun Trace Task Force. Be sure to catch it right after the news. I'm Tom Hall. Appreciate your listening. Have a great weekend.